Work began this week on what's being called the Great Wall of Calais, a 13-foot, $2.5 million wall that will run for about 0.6 miles in Calais, France, designed to keep migrants living in camps there from crossing over into the UK. It's the latest in a series of construction projects along borders throughout Europe. There's a new wall in Hungary, barbed wire fences in Greece, a new barrier set to be built in Austria. In the Middle East, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel said earlier in the year of his already well-walled country that he wants to, quote, surround all of Israel with some kind of fence. Someday will a great wall of Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico be visible from space along with China's Great Wall? Joining me is Commissioner David Aguilar, former Deputy Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection between 2010 and 2013, as well as former Chief of U.S. Border Patrol between 2004 and 2010. He's currently a partner at Global Security Innovative Strategies.
These are tools to be used as part of an enforcement system, whether this was centuries ago or presently today. They are but one aspect of an enforcement system that has to be applied. The wall in and of itself will not stop the crossings of people, as I said, narcotics or anything of that nature coming into a country. Let me give you a couple of examples. In the case of the United States, our southern border with Mexico, simple things were used to overcome. Narcotics used to be catapulted, are still being catapulted across our 18-foot walls. There are ultralights flying above the 18-foot wall and below our radars that are actually applied on our southern border. There are tunnels being built. So again, it creates that persistent deterrence that assists in creating the density of enforcement effort, but in and of themselves, by themselves, they are not a silver bullet.
How do you deal with the balance of what the perception of a wall is in terms of making people feel better versus what they actually do in maintaining this deterrence? Listen to what Elizabeth Vallet, who's the author of a book, Borders, Fences, and Walls, said on our program about a year ago.
If you try to prevent people from coming in, if you're trying to achieve a security, a sovereignty, a aim, no, they do not work. But if you consider border walls, border fences as a public relation operation led by a government which is trying to show his population that he's trying to do something, then they do work. They work as a symbol of a political goal.
Expensive for a political goal or cheap?
Well, I think that absolutely walls are going to be very expensive, but they are also tremendous assets applied correctly. Yes, the political rhetoric that's going on here in the United States right now concerning walls is concerning. And the reason for that is because we're talking as a country, the politicians are talking about walls 2,000 miles long along the entirety of the border with Mexico. Well, that's ludicrous. That is not necessary. It would be a tremendous waste of treasure, if you will. And it would not help the situation as it relates to control of our and managing our borders. The peak year for illegal immigration and narcotics trafficking in this country was year 2000. 2000, we had over 1.6 million people that we apprehended coming into the United States illegally. Fast forward to where we are today. And by the way, back then, the 650-some miles of wall did not exist. Fast forward to where we are today, the apprehensions have fallen by over 80 to 82%. This year, the Border Patrol will end up the fiscal year with approximately 380,000 apprehensions along the southwest border of Mexico. And by the way, these are apprehensions that we know more of. In other words, back in 2000, we had no idea what was getting away. Today, the Border Patrol approximates that up to 80 to 85% of what is crossing the border illegally is being apprehended.
And that success is a result of all kinds of things, not just that amount of wall that you said has been built since 2000.
Absolutely. But where the wall was built as a part of the enforcement system, it was absolutely critical that that wall be placed and built in the fashion, form and fashion that it was. Now, the 652 miles that were built in 2006 to 2008 under the Bush administration, that was designed. I was the chief of the Border Patrol at that time. That was designed by the chiefs in the field to address what was needed at that time.
Does the political system serve well the people of the United States, given that there seems to be an incentive to over-dramatize fear as a way of getting people's attention and then getting their votes? And then one is left with the impression that, in fact, politicians have an interest in keeping people completely in the dark about what their real security and real fear is. You've been doing this for 35 years. What's your feeling?
Well, I'll tell you, one, it was very frustrating because when you hear rhetoric like what is going on today in the political arena relating to, you use the word fear. I count it more as addressing the peak interests of the American population, the border. I use the term or the number of people that are going to be apprehended this year crossing the southern border with Mexico, about 380,000, which is a lot, still a lot more to be done. But overstays, people coming into the United States, flying into the United States, overstaying their visas last year was right at 500,000. That is seldom talked about. So we're talking about spending multi-billions, that's with a B, billions of dollars on building walls when that what we should be talking about is what should we do about the real problems as it relates to illegal immigration, smuggling of human trafficking, narcotics, and things of that nature. Take a look at that number. More people overstaying their visas, therefore illegally in the United States, that actually fly in here legally and then become illegal once they're here because they don't leave.
David Aguilar is a former Deputy Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, former Chief of U.S. Border Patrol, and currently a partner at Global Security Innovative Strategies. He spoke to us from Washington, D.C. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.